Let's call the meeting to order and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chair stuck. So we'll move on to reports and communications. First, the superintendent's update.
Okay, I just have a few things. What was that? Oh. All right, so we have 1 week left next week, and then the district will be closed for 2 weeks in order for all of our employees to have time off with their families. The next board meeting is next Thursday at 4:30, and this meeting is for swearing in Taylor and Christina and Regine, and setting the board reorganization, which includes schedules and electing the president and clerk. So that's next Thursday at 4:30. So I'm going to do the attendance real quick and then do one other thing. So at the time of the agenda, we had 1,354 students. It's 5 more students than we had last year at this time and 1 less than we had last month. We have 115 students in our preschool program, which is 27 less than last year at this time, but 1 more than last month. So a total of 1,469 with all groups, which is 22 less than last year, which is all preschool, basically. Okay, so that's what I have for attendance. And then I would like to take a minute to recognize 2 of our board members that are leaving.
Thank you. Is it my bell?
It's not a bell. That's, you got a bell when you graduate. It's a plaque, yeah. When you left as an employee. So. So please accept this gift and our best wishes for your future. We want to thank you both for all you have done for the district. The district is a better place because you both served as board members. You both served your positions well and should be proud of the work you have done. You had to make some very difficult and sometimes very unpopular decisions, but you did so in the betterment of all. You will always have the distinction of serving the community while during the most difficult time in education. You both worked hard to make sure that we did the best we possibly could for our students and staff as we faced those unprecedented times. Oftentimes, board members are criticized, especially on social media, for the decisions they make, but both of you have always looked out for what is best for the district, even if it doesn't mesh with your own personal opinions. People don't know what they don't know when criticizing board members because they haven't walked in your shoes. And they have no idea, often, about what you guys have to deal with and the things that come your way. Fortunately, you never let that sway you from doing the right thing. As you are well aware, serving as a board member is a difficult but fulfilling job. Your commitment to the students and the district is something I have always admired in both of you. You have both been outstanding board members, and we thank you for your service and your support. You will be missed, but not forgotten. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And that's all I have for the superintendent's report.
So I just want to thank you for those kind words, Trey. Yeah, it's been a long time. And time for new blood. So congratulations to you, Taylor. Christina, good luck. You know, I've always done it just because it's a community thing. I've always been a community member, done things for the community, and that's all the only reason I was up here, and to do what I could to help support the district, which helps support our kids. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. Met lots of people, and I'm not done yet. So thank you again.
And I'd like to say thank you, too, for the kind words and to let you know that I'm sure that Wheatland School District isn't out of my blood yet since I have a third grade granddaughter. But, you know, teaching 28 years at Bear River and then 8 years as a board member, I'm ready to just relax a little more. And I'd like to thank Craig because he's been such a great superintendent. And I just have always looked out for the kids and loved them. And it's fun, and you'll enjoy it, the new ones. So thank you.
Okay.
So communications from the public? Since we're not public, we didn't have to communicate out of order. No. Anybody here have anything to say? Is Annette coming, do you know?
I don't know, but she does.
We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions?
So moved.
Second.
Have a second?
Yep.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. Action item 5.1, adoption of the first interim report, budget revisions, and the EPA certifications.
Okay, so this is the time of year that I bring to you the first interim. It's always due to the county office by December 15th. That's why we always have our meeting early. So I have a PowerPoint. Can you all see that?
No, we want to know why it's not down here like it used to be.
Where's Chad?
That was always right there, and it's blind people can see it.
Can you not see it? Because I can move it.
It needs to just be at a different angle.
I can see it if you don't sit there, Craig.
Okay.
No, your head was in the way.
Your head was in the way.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to get in anybody's way, so I'll kind of come to the side. So, as usual, this is the time of year that we're waiting to see what the governor's January budget proposal is. Again, that is just a proposal that he brings out early, and it's never the final of what will happen by June. State revenues are still coming in slightly higher than state projections, which is surprising given the COVID-19 pandemic and all of that, but they're starting to fall off quickly. So I would expect that we're gonna see less of an impact on the districts right now because the state has money in the coffers. The biggest problem is gonna be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if things don't turn around. So this is the COVID funding breakdown. So you can see in this column how much we've been allocated, this column how much we've received, and that column how much we've spent. And so ESSER 1 is, you had to have it spent by now, so it's spent. ESSER 2 is completely spent. ESSER 3, we've spent $589,000. We're expecting to get $1,352,000, but we've only received $135,000. This one is, you have to spend it first, and then you have to send it to the state, and then they go through their thing, and then you get reimbursed what you spent. So it's going to take a while to catch up. And then you can see the rest of them.
But that one's, ESSER 3, it says allocated $1 million.
Yep.
And then amount received $1 million.
No, that's
135. Okay.
135,000. So we received 10%.
Okay.
They send that up front. And then as you spend it, so you can see we spent 500, almost
okay.
600,000. So we've spent about half of what we're going to receive.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Craig,
yes.
just to say it out loud, all of that spending had ties to how it could be spent.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Because it's been socially out there that we got all this money and...
And we spent it all on masks. Yeah. I saw that posted, and that's not correct. Almost all of the masks and all of the testing kits and all of that, we got all that free from the state.
Mm-hmm.
So we've spent the majority of it on technology. Getting one-to-ones in kids' hands, especially when they were distance learning. So, as I said in the thing, mm-hmm. people say what they think, and they don't actually do the research to find out.
And that's why I just wanted to say it out loud.
Yeah. All right, so revenues. The board approved budget was $13,015,000, and at first interim, it's $13,782,000, so that's a calculation that's done on what FICMAT has as a calculator. So we're going to receive $767,000 more than what we originally had in the budget. For federal revenue, it was $2 million and now it's $2.8 million. So about $810,000 more, but most of that, almost all of that is grant related. So it's not general fund. It's some CARES funding, but mostly the federal grants as well as the PALS grant and the new STEAM grant that's coming to Lone Tree. Other state revenue, so addition of COVID funding, because we don't put it into the budget until we know it's coming. So there's almost $2 million more coming in other state. Again, a lot of that is grant related, the strong workforce grants. There's been an increase in some lottery funding, and there's been some special ed dispute resolution money that is coming our way. And then other local revenue, some after-school parent payments, some special ed SDC reimbursements for Plumas Lake. Remember, we do the SDC for Plumas Lake, and they have to pay us back for their students. So that increased it by $389,000. So overall, from the original budget through October 31st, this is all, first interim goes through October 31st, we have $3.9 million more than that was in the original budget. So, of course, expenditures also go up when you receive money. So, certificated salaries went up $815,000. That's step and column adjustments and additional teachers and some grant funding. Classified salaries went up $675,000. Again, step and column, new grant hires, additional staff, and COVID funding that is allocated. Remember, originally, we had 3.5 hour paras and it went to 5 because COVID money said we had to spend it on paras. So that gets allocated over there. I always put this up for your benefit, the employee benefits. Everybody just thinks about health and welfare, but these are all additional costs that the district has to pay for every employee. So if they're a teacher or in STRS, it's 19.10%. If they're classified or in PERS, it's 25.37%, and then Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, and workers' comp. So the employee benefits went up about just shy of $500,000, and that's tied to new employees, step and column changes. If their salary goes up, all those percentages go up. Books and supplies. So this one is $1 million more than the original budget because this is the time that we put all the money back to the sites that they carried over from last year, including grant money. So it's $1 million hit, but it's really not because it goes back to the sites for them to spend on.
I have a question.
Yes.
What kind of supplies are those attached to as far as, I know, books, but then?
Supplies can be anything.
Okay.
That is, related to the site. It can be anything from pencils to computers to copy paper to whatever we have to spend it on. And then because it includes strong workforce and some of those, it's also including like the flowers and the, you know. So. And then services and other operating went up about $300,000. That's site carryovers and went. The spent went up $300,000, new grants, funding, etc. No capital outlay. Capital outlay is obviously buildings and things like that, so we're not buying anything at this point. So other outgo, very small amount, $86, just because of indirect costs. Transfer of indirect. It's the same as what the original budget was. We give $25,000 over to the preschool because they earn impact aid money for the district. So total expenditures went up $3.3 million. Transfers out, there's no change to that. That's the cafeteria fund, breakfast support. Remember, we've been giving free breakfast for a number of years now, and that is a cost to the district. So Originally, we had budgeted that we were going to overspend by $1.2 million, and remember, we never do that, but that's what we budgeted. Now, it's going to be overspent by $697,000, so it's a $591,000 in the good at this point. So the fund balance that we currently have is $9.1 million, and if we did overspend by $697,000, then we'd be at $8.4 million in the fund balance. And what makes up the fund balance? These are the ones you see all the time. Revolving cash, there's the restricted money that typically is like textbook money, that kind of thing. We always put aside the reserve for economic uncertainties, and then we have to account for accrued vacation, salaries and benefits, cash flow, so that's, we keep that on the books for if we did have a problem, the state didn't fund us, we still had it available to pay our employees. And then there's the lottery feeder textbook adoptions. So multi-year, these are just stabs in the dark because you never know what they're going to bring forward. I was on a meeting today that they're talking about potentially 8-10% COLA for next year to kind of offset the recession. But the way they do that is they stop giving you some of the one-time money. So we'll see what happens. And then these are the other funds in the district, the charter. Their beginning balance is $570,000 based on their first interim. They're going to underspend by $118,000. So their fund balance will go up. Child development, cafeteria, deferred maintenance, special reserve. I can answer any questions that you might have about any of this. But it's some of these like cafeteria and those, you want to spend them down because they'll take state money away if you have too much. That's it. So the first interim is typically very easy. And it's, again, only through October 31st. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So carried.
Moving on to 5.2, the continued funding application.
So every year we have to send to the state that we are going to continue to have our preschool program. And so they send us a continuing funding application that has to be approved by the board so that we can send it to the state saying, yes, we plan to continue our preschool program. So that you see this about this time of year every year.
Any questions? Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. 5.3, the addendum to the superintendent's contract.
Yeah.
Contract.
Yeah, not my contact. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is with a positive evaluation, which you guys did last month, then it rolls it continued to have a 3-year contract for the superintendent. It actually doesn't go into effect till July of 2023 because I'm currently on the end of, you know, the 3 years. So this would be from July of 2023 through June of 2026. No other changes, just the length of the contract.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. Approval of the 23-24 student calendar.
So this usually I bring it to you either this month or in January. We were able to work with Plumas Lake and the high school, and I think that the high school is now on board with us all being at the same time. We'll see. You know, they haven't approved theirs yet. But this is the kind of a rollover calendar from what we're doing this year. It definitely keeps the 2 weeks at Christmas, which I know some of you are wanting to make sure that we do. So it's basically the same calendar we have this year, starting on Wednesday, August 16th, ending on June 6th with 8th grade promotion on June 7th, and all the typical breaks that we normally have, and then, I think the only real difference here is that Good Friday is not a day off, because you'd have to take it from somewhere else. There's still the week.
We're getting close to 3 weeks, though, at Christmas. Go ahead. Give me your book.
No, I'm not. The reality of it is going out on the 15th was going to give way too much time. Mm-hmm. Going all the way to the 22nd, we get people complain about, there's not enough time for them to do what they need to do. So we thought we'll go to school through the Wednesday, and then you take those days and you put it back. But you're right. It is 2 weeks and 2 days of vacation. This year, I think it's 2 weeks and 1 day. It is, I believe, on the 7th. No, sorry.
Yeah, I think you're right. April.
Does anybody know? 9th?
9th of April?
No, that's this year. This would be for the following year.
Yeah,
the 7th is a Sunday.
Yeah. April of 24, it would have to either be the 7th or the 7th or the 26th. 24, yeah.
24. So probably we don't have the day after? Easter 24 is March 31st.
Yeah. No. March 31st. Okay, there it is. Yeah, so we have the 29th would be what we typically take as Good Friday, but we have a minimum day that day, and then they'll be off the week after. So it puts 84 days in the first, if you're using semesters, the first semester, and 96 after, which is a 12-day swing. But remember, all testing is in the springtime, so that's part of the reason. Doesn't really affect us, but it affects the high school, because if they have a semester class, they have to look at the number of days.
And right now they're saying that this is going to work for them, that they're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Plumas
Lake will start on, instead of starting on the Wednesday, the 16th, they start on Thursday, the 17th. And instead of ending on the 6th, like we do, they end on the 7th. So they go all the way through that Friday. And again, this is a conversation that we've had. It doesn't mean, I had that conversation last year, and then the high school chose not to go. They chose to still go earlier. But I think this one, They would have to choose to go back to school on the 9th of August, and I think that's just too early. So.
Any more questions? Can I entertain a motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? So carried. Move on to board comments. Are there any comments?
So quiet.
I know. Well, again, I'd like to thank everybody for supporting our district and coming to the meetings.
This is your last meeting as president, too. Look at that.
Thank you both. You'll be missed.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I'm not letting it show. He's still in charge. Yeah, it's big toe in
there. Yeah.
I remember when you were hired.
I know.
We had those meetings in my room over pink slips.
Yeah. Did you pink slip or black?
All right. Well, you can go to closed session.
We'll go on to closed session.